I've been teaching for these Wednesday nights on the subject of science of the Christian life. Brother Jack Scopp said to me several months ago, after a sermon or a Bible study, he said, "Brother Hiles, you've made a science of the Christian life." Dr. David Gibbs said to me recently, he said, "You live your Christian life by formula." And I decided that I would give you some lessons on the science of the Christian life. And most of these lessons are studies of the Bible. Tonight I'm going to do something I rarely do. I'm just going to read you some scripture. Then I'm going to talk to you tonight. And the title sounds very boring. I'm calling it the science of government. But I don't mean just the federal government. I don't mean just the state government. I'm talking about any kind of government. I'm talking about the government of a schoolroom. I'm talking about the government of a home. I'm talking about the government of a college or a high school or a grade school. I'm going to talk to you tonight on why you get demerits. I'll give you a little hint. You're so stinking mean, that's why you get demerits. A little foretaste of the depth of the Bible study tonight. Why do you get speeding tickets? Because you're a dirty lawbreaker, that's why you get them. Why people go to the penitentiary? Because they married Tammy Faye, that's one reason. Are you enjoying the Bible study so far tonight? I want to be sure that you get the meat of what we're trying to teach tonight. Why are people expelled from college? Why spankings and so forth? When I say government tonight, I'm not talking just about the federal, the state, or the local governments. I'm talking about any kind of government of human beings. I'd like for you to listen. We may get bogged down tonight, and I may not understand it myself by the time we get through. But if you listen to me and help me, I think I can help you to understand. And I believe I can help you understand how you ought to treat your children in your classroom and those who are under your authority. We haven't read the scripture yet, have we? We ought to do it. This is a religious meeting. Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Now that doesn't mean Mr. Clinton is supposed to be in the White House. That means we are supposed to have a president in the White House. We don't, but that's what that it means, that the office of the presidency, or the office of the mayor, or the office of the governor, those offices are ordained of God. Verse 2. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive themselves damnation. That doesn't mean hell fire. That means judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger, now this is the key line, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Before I pray, does anybody here remember the difference between sin and evil as I taught in the lessons on justice? Sin is a transgression of the law of God. Evil is a transgression of God's law that is done to do what? To harm somebody. Don't forget that. It says he is a to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. And we'll come back to that. Father, teach us the Bible and teach us tonight the science of punishment and law and order and government and authority and discipline, and give us a willingness to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Set up straight. Get everything off your mind except what I'm going to talk to you about, because you're going to have to listen carefully. I'm going to give you 10 points tonight, about 25 minutes for each point. We'll be here for a while, and we'll be out of here in time for classes tomorrow morning. Now, I want you to listen carefully to me. I want to talk to you about the science of government. I want to talk to you why does Brother Hiles say, sit still while I'm talking? Why does Brother Hiles say, listen to me? Somebody behind you might want to listen, so hush. Why does the teacher give demerits? Why are students expelled from school? Why do mothers and dads give spankings? Why do mothers and dads ground a child or a young person, if you please? All right. I want Dr. Jorgensen to stand up right here, please. I use Dr. Jorgensen. You new students have to understand I use him a lot, so that's the only way I can keep him awake is to use him. And Dr. Jorgensen, stand right here and look at me, would you please? Face this way. Okay. I want to say Dr. Jorgensen is going to represent a human being. Now, there are students who doubt that it's a good representation. Dr. Jorgensen is going to represent a human being. Now, I'm God. Don't you forget that either. But in this little lesson, performance, I'm God. Now, the first thing I want to say is this. We have all been given by God the ability to choose. So I'm going to give you, since I'm God, I'm going to give you the ability to choose. That's the first statement I'm going to make, and I want you to remember it. Say it after I say it. We have all been given by God the ability to choose. Say it out loud. Ready? We have all been given by God the ability to choose. Say it again. We have all been given by God the ability to choose. All right? So, you now have the ability of choice. By the way, man is the only one of God's creatures that have this choice, this privilege. Animals live by instinct, and if you live by instinct, you're living like an animal. If you choose what you do, you're living like a human being. If you let your passions decide what you do, or let certain vulgar pictures decide what you do, or let some female dressed half naked decide what you do, or somebody who lures you decide what you do, or if you get in the wrong crowd and they decide what you do, then you're living like an animal and not like a human being. I'm saying that God has given to man the uniquely privilege, the ability to choose. Statement number two. With that ability comes your right to choose. So you have a perfect right to choose. Choose you this day whom you will serve. For example, you have a right to choose Jesus, or you have a right to choose to go to hell if you want to. That is your perfect right. God's given you that right. And God would not have given you the ability to choose without giving you that right to choose. All right, the first thing I said was, we've been given by God the ability to choose. Say that again. Ready? We have been given by, hold it, everybody say it. We have been given by God the ability to choose. Number two, with that ability comes the right to choose. Say it. With that ability comes the right to choose. I'm giving to you the ability to choose. You are able to choose. Now, an animal can't do that. He lives by instinct, but you have a mental capacity where you have the ability to choose. Since I've given you that ability, I'm going to give you that right. You may use that ability. I would not have given it to you if you were not going to use it. And so you now have the right to choose, and you have the ability to choose. Number three, listen carefully to this, a long statement. We may choose what we will if it does not take away others' freedom to choose or our ability to choose. Let me say it again. You may choose what you want to choose within the circumference. That means circle for you new students. Within the circumference of not infringing upon the rights of others to choose. For example, Brother Moffitt's going to stand up right here. And back about as far as he is, Brother Moffitt. Don't want you to take over, just want you to stand there. That's right. All right. Now then, this, you're the only two people on the face of the earth right now. Adam and Steve. And so... All right. Now, I have given to you the ability to what?
Choose.
And along with that ability, I've given you the what?
Right.
The right to choose. I'm going to give you the same thing. I feel a little risky about this, but I want to give you, Brother Moffitt, the ability to choose, okay? And with that ability, what else am I going to give you? The right to choose. All right. Now then, you, Dr. Jorgensen, since you're the only two people on the face of the earth, now you may choose anything you want to choose unless it takes away the right I just gave him and unless it takes away your right to choose. You see, no man has a right to take away my right to choose. And no man has a right to take away your right to choose. Mr. Moffitt, I've given you the ability to choose. Is that right? And I've also given you the right to choose. You understand that? All right. You tell me. I've given both these fellows the what? First the what? First the what? Ability. And second the what? The right. To do what? To choose. Now, Mr. Moffitt, you may choose anything you want to choose, unless it takes away his right to choose, and unless it takes your right to choose. All right? Now, we have the first thing I've said is God has given to us the what? Talk to me, the what? Ability to choose. Second, I said, God's given us the what? The right to choose. Now then, I've said that he can choose anything unless it does what to him? Unless it, tell me, takes away his right. Okay, you tell me, he may do anything unless it, what? Takes away his right to choose, or it takes away his right to choose. All right, now the fourth thing I want to say, that is what the Bible laws are all about. God is protecting your freedom to choose, and he's protecting his freedom to choose. And basically, that's what sin is. Sin is anything that you do that takes away his freedom to choose or your freedom to choose. And that's what sin is. You may choose anything you want to, but you may not choose to take away his freedom to choose, and you may not choose to take away your freedom to choose, and that's what sin is all about. Okay, then I'll say this. This is what Bible laws are for. God is protecting your freedom and the freedom of others to choose. What means is this: God has made it wrong for you to take away his right to choose. And God's made it wrong for you to take away your right to choose. And God's made it wrong for you to take away his right to choose. And God has made it wrong for you to take away your right to choose. Now, that's what this book is all about. And that's what right and wrong is. Sin is anything that takes away your right to choose or another's right to choose. So, that's what the Bible laws are all about. You know, the laws of our country come from the old Justinian Code. And the Justinian Code basically was taken from the Old Testament laws. And so, you have no right. Now, you have your freedom, but you have no right to take away his freedom. And you have no right to take away your own freedom. And you have no right to take away his, you understand that? You have no right to take away his freedom. You understand that?
I totally understand.
You totally understand that. And you have no right to take away your own freedom. And if you take away his freedom, remember what we read a while ago? It said he is a minister to execute against what? Evil. And now evil is when he takes away him, if he hurts him. So you have no right to do anything that'll take away his right to choose, and you have no right to do anything that'll take away his right to choose, or your right to choose, for that matter, either. Number five, hear me carefully. Let me illustrate. If you drive down the road 100 miles an hour, is that evil?
Yes.
Well, you took a while there for you. Could be.
If I run into him.
But it's not evil if you don't run into anybody. It's okay to break the law, go 100 miles an hour and 30 miles on. I almost got Brother Eddie up here instead of your place. Except I've seen him go 100 miles an hour and 30 miles an hour. All right, so if you go 100 miles an hour or if you break the speed limit. Oh, did you hear what I said? If you break the speed limit. The morning I was driving to the college and I was late. I decided to take a shortcut down. What's that little street that goes down? You cross 35 to get and go south on Klein, turn left, that little street that do jiggers to the half left there? No, come on. What?
Roman Road,
yeah. And some idiot made the speed limit 30 miles an hour. But I was late. And I thought, just this one, and I'll obey the speed limit when it's convenient. And I thought now, I'll obey the speed, but I was late. And 30 miles an hour. And so I nobody was in front of me. And would you know it? Would you believe it? Looked up in the rearview mirror, and there was a Hiles Anderson student following me. I had to go 30 stupid miles an hour. And worse than that, he had to go 30 stupid miles an hour, too. And his car's not even trained to go that slow. But now, you see, that's why it's wrong to speed. Because speeding chances taking away his right to choose. That's what's wrong with drinking. Drinking could cause you to commit some crime against him that take away his right to choose, And if you drink, it takes away your right to choose because you lose your capacity for choosing. And that's what's wrong with smoking. That's what's wrong with robbery. You see, sin is anything, when you exercise your right to choose beyond the boundary of his right to choose, then that's sin. Or if you do anything that takes away your right to choose, likewise that's sin. Now, I'm going to get down to the practical part in just a minute. Now, then I said, number one, we have been given by God the what? Talk to me, the what? Ability to choose. Number two, God gave us that ability, he gave us the what? The right to choose. I said, number three, that's what I said, we may choose what we will if it does not take away the right to choose of another or our own right to choose. Number four, that's what Bible laws are for, and that's what sin is. Sin is when a person exercises his right to choose beyond his own brother's right to choose and takes away his right or takes away his own right. Now, number five, punishment is to inflict pain when we do so, so we won't do it again. The purpose for all punishment is corrective. Punishment is not supposed to be punitive, but corrective. If he takes away, okay, they live in the same dormitory room. You think you got it rough. How would you like to have to live with him? You would? You'd like, it's rough. Okay, but let's suppose that he takes something that belongs to him. All right, now, he has the right to choose, doesn't he? Well, can't he choose his watch if he sees it, lays it laying there on the shelf? No, because when he chooses to take his watch, then he's taking away his right to choose to wear his own watch. Is that right? Anybody here? Okay, the lights are on, but nobody seems to be at home. The cheese is falling out of your sandwich. Okay, so consequently, you can't take away his right. Now, that's why... Did you take his watch?
Yes, sir.
You took his watch. And you're the vice president of Hiles Anderson College.
Yes, sir.
How do you expect these students, man, to know to do right if you don't do right?
I don't know.
Student body, let's have a vote. Expulsion? Say amen. Okay. All right. Now then, I'm going to have to ground you. What do you call that?
Campus.
Campus. I'm going to have to campus you. Now, why am I campusing him? Because I hate him? Well, I do hate him, but that's not why I'm campusing him. No, I'm not campusing him because I hate him. Or I say, boy, I tell you what, you shouldn't have done that. You're campus. No, I don't campus him because I'm mad at him. I campus him because I want him not to take away his right to choose again. And that's what punishment is for. Punishment is not you getting back at somebody. Punishment is not you giving vent to how you feel because they've done wrong. Punishment is corrective. It is the job of punishment to see to it that you will no longer take away his right to choose. And that's what it's all about. So God is protecting, by punishing us for sin, God is protecting our right to choose. He's protecting, by punishing him, he's protecting your right to choose. He's protecting your right to choose, but if you won't let him have his right to choose, I'll take away your right to choose so that you'll come near not taking away his right the next time. Anybody following me? Y'all understand this? Okay, good. Fine. Thank you. If the choir can understand it, most anybody. Can you understand this? Then anybody can. All right. Okay, number six. Later, he must be removed from society if he continues to take away his right to choose. You follow me? First, I punish him in an effort to see that he won't do it again. But if I see he is going to continue to do it again, then I cannot correct him by punishment. You understand what I'm saying? Now, this is what government's all about. If I can correct him by punishment, and so he will not no longer take away his right to choose or his own right to choose, then that's splendid. But if you continue to do that, do you take your watch again? I declare. So I punish him again. Do you take your watch again? So I punish him again. Do you take your watch again? Punish him again. Do you take your watch again? Okay. Now then, that means that it looks like I'm unable to correct it. Now, if I'm unable to correct it, the only thing I can do is to remove him from society. So what do? I put him in jail. You see? So I put you over here in jail. You're in jail right now. You're holding the bar. That's right. You're in jail right there right now. And so he's in jail. I should have put... Hold on the bars. I should have put you somebody else because he can squeeze through those bars. Okay. Now, what then is jail for? Huh? Nobody should be in jail for doing something that does not infringe on somebody else's right to choose or his own right to choose. There are other punishments. I can tell the government exactly how to take care of the penitentiary problem in America. Follow God's plan. God's plan is that punishment be curative. And other punishment other than incarceration should take place. Incarceration. Now, he's a big word. I know big words like incarceration, catty-cornered, catty-wampus, pussyfoot, and all those big words. But anyway, I am not supposed to put this guy in. The purpose for jail is to remove the fellow from becoming a danger to the freedom to choose of other people. Well, just come here. You're a student at Howells Anderson College. And you just keep on doing this. And he you've taken his watch, you've taken his ring, you've taken his earrings, you've taken everything from this guy. And and it looks like there's no way. We've got to get you out of the school. So we expel him. That's what expulsion's all about. Expulsion is when we find out it is impossible to correct him from infringing on his right to choose or his own right to choose. So, if he's taking dope, in the first place, he's taking dope. He may take it because they're in the same room, and he's infringing on his right to choose. But if he doesn't take it, the dope or the liquor is infringing on his right to choose. So we have to remove him from the premises. It may be okay. It may be in the case of somebody who's retarded or mentally ill, it may be incarceration at an asylum or an institution. Not because they're bad people, but because they're infringing on other people's right to choose. Yeah, let's suppose he's retarded, and that's not too far from being... okay, now that you're retarded.
Well, act like it.
You don't know how. You're doing a good job before you mask it. Okay, now, this guy is mentally ill, so he goes over here, And he steals his watch. And he brings it back. Okay. He steals his watch. Now, it doesn't matter why he stole it, he stole it. If he stole it because he's mean, he took away his right to choose. If he stole it because he's mentally ill, he still took away his right to choose. Hey, did you know that prison should be no more than incarceration in an asylum? And it should be for the safety of society, not for the discomfort of the criminal. There are other ways you can punish a criminal who commits a white-collar crime, for example, is not dangerous to society. The other ways you can punish him and be best to punish him. We take brilliant minds and put them in prison and totally don't use their minds, just paralyze their minds. Those minds could be used in other ways where they could be a contribution to society with other kinds of punishment. I'm simply saying, give me his watch back. All right. I said, number one, listen carefully now. We have been given by God the what to choose? The ability. Say it, the what? Ability to choose. Number two, because God has given us that ability, he's given us the right to choose. All right? We may choose what we will as long as it does not take from others their right to what? Choose. Or from me, my right to what? Choose. All right? Then, that's what the Bible law is all about. God is protecting your right to choose and his right to choose or others' right to choose, and that's what laws are. Laws are to protect your right to choose and your right to choose, and then punishment is to inflict pain when we do so we won't do it again, and later incarceration is from society, prison, asylum, expulsion, and so forth, is to take you away so you can, God is still protecting his right to choose. Now the next thing. The ultimate of that is capital punishment. And capital punishment is a scripture of salvation by grace through faith. Capital punishment should take place. Right, let's do this. Come on. Act like you still his watch. Take your watch off. Hold it. Put it right there. You're going to bed at night, okay, and then you while he goes to sleep. All right, he steals his watch. Okay, what's the first thing I'm supposed to do? I'm supposed to punish him so he won't do it again. Is that right? All right, so then you're going to be grounded. And I'll give him his watch back, and you're grounded. All right, now that's supposed to keep him from what? Doing it again. What again? Stealing the watch? Yeah, but it's deeper than that. From taking away his right to choose. See, he's taking away his freedom of choice. When you take away my freedom of choice, you take away my freedom. And to those of us who believe the Bible and love God and believe in democracy and capitalism, freedom is more important than security is. So, I punished you, right?
Yes, sir.
You think you can correct it now?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right, try to do better. Okay. Go to sleep. If your watch is missing in your dormitory, I'd go to his office first if I were you. Okay, he did it again. I punish him again. Okay, you're grounded again. Not only that, you're getting 50 demerits for stealing.
I'm sorry.
Okay?
I won't do it anymore.
Won't do it anymore.
I'm sorry.
Okay, he puts his watch there again. So, you did it again, didn't you?
Well, yeah.
Okay, buddy, you're expelled from school. Here's your watch. Now, what am I doing? I am going to do what I've got to do so he can have his freedom to choose. Now then, he goes deeper and deeper into sin and he kills somebody. Let me choose whom he kills. He kills somebody. Now, this guy has become, in first place, by punishing him, I cannot keep him, his freedom safe. And by incarcerating him for a period of time, I still can't keep his freedom safe. So what do? I've got to put him out of his misery. So he has committed a crime that makes him a danger to the freedom to choose, and that's what freedom is. Basically, freedom is the right to choose. Remember what we said government was all about? Government's to protect my person and my property and my freedom or liberty. That's what government's all about. All right? So then, we have had to get together. And we have had to pass a law that says if you continue to infringe on his freedom and you kill somebody even, we're going to have to put you in the electric chair. You understand that?
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, first you try to correct them so they won't do it again. We're protecting his freedom to choose. That doesn't work, you incarcerate him. That doesn't work, kill the guy. I mean, execute him. It sounds more dignified. But, okay, thank you. No, don't leave. Okay, now then, follow me carefully because I'm getting down to the meat of it. To remove one from freedom unless he has taken away the freedom of another is wrong. See what I said? Nobody has a right to pass a law to remove me from my freedom unless I have taken away the freedom of somebody else to choose. Illustration. I'll call you up again, fellas. Illustration. This building was built. I called the city fire inspector, fire chief. And I said to the fire chief, could I talk to you, please? We came and stood right back there in that aisle, back in the back. And I said, Chief, I'll be preaching in this building to the people that I love the most of anybody in the whole world. I'll be preaching to folks that I want protected. I said, now, Chief, would you please tell me how to keep these people safe? We're going to do everything we can. By the way, I'd already done that when we drew the plans. That's why there's a door right there. There's a door right here. There's a door right there. A door right there. A door right there. And there. And a few feet there. And a few feet there. And a few feet over there. And a few feet over here. And a few feet over here. And over here. And over there. And back 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 there. And over there. And over there, and back there, and over there, and over there, and over there, and up here, and up here. Why? Because I want you to get out of here in case of a fire. Because if you burn to death, I lose your tithe. Now, so what am I saying? I'm saying that government has a perfect right to protect us. Government has a perfect right to say to it that if you have a pond in your backyard, and the pond is filthy, and mosquitoes are all over your pond, and your pond is stagnating, and germs are there, and you're endangering my life next door, society has a right to tell you, clean up that pond. Why? Because your pond is endangering my right to choose and my freedom to choose. You understand that? But I was down in Florida preaching. The pastor said, see that sign right there? It was a church sign. He said, I put that sign right there up. He said, the city told me I had to take it down. Plan commission or city something had to take it down. I said, why? They said, because you got to have flowers around that sign. Ask a question. If I have a sign up and no flowers around it, does that endanger your freedom? Yes or no? No. So the city, the government, has a right to see to it that I keep my property so you will not have mosquitoes coming over there bringing disease to you. But they have no right to tell me I got to put flowers around my sign. Because that does not infringe upon anybody's freedom to choose. He said, that is no. I put flowers around the sign. They came out, made me take the sign down again, he said. This is down in Florida, somewhere in Florida. Near West Palm Beach. And city came out and said, you've got to put the kind of flowers we tell you to put. I'm talking about the brand. I'm talking about the make of flower, the name of the flower. You got petunias, you want to put pansies? Do it. Any preacher take that, it's a pansy anyway. But anyway, he said, okay, he said, you got to put the flowers we say. So we took the flowers that they said put there and put them there. They came down and said, take the sign down again. Said, why? He said, you got to put how many of each flower we say to put there. And he said, look at those little flowers. And I mean, it's a little bit of flowers that tall around the sign. Bunch of little Napoleons that think they're world dictators made that fellow put exactly how many flowers they said put of each type of flower, and it's none of their frazzling business what kind of flowers he has there, because it is not infringing on anybody's freedom to choose. So, to remove one from freedom unless he's taken away the freedom of another is wrong. Number 9, listen carefully. This one's going to hang you. To pass a law, hear me carefully, to pass a law to make me forfeit my freedom to choose when I have not taken away somebody else's freedom to choose makes the government taking away my freedom and makes the government a criminal. And the government that's supposed to protect me has now become a criminal because they're making me do something that takes away my right. If I want to put petunias there and I own that property, I can put petunias there. You tell me I can't put petunias there. In the first place, I'm going to put petunias there. But you tell me I can't put petunias there, then you're taking away my right to choose. And you have no right to take away my right to choose unless I take away your right to choose. But the only right that government has to take away my right to choose is if I take away somebody else's right to choose. And if government does that, government becomes a criminal. And the United States government is a criminal. And the average little, for example, you guys are going to find this out and you go out in the fields. You go out to towns all across America and try to start a church. They'll say you can't. You buy some property. We got our boys all over America. Have bought property and can't build a church there because some little Napoleons who have no power except the power to, if they can't do anything except keep somebody that is doing something from doing it. Most of them are cousins of the mayor. They'll say to you, you can't build a church. Go out and ask Pastor Johnson in Northern California. Been fighting for years for the right to build a church on the property he bought to build a church. What they're saying is, and you go to the average city in America, and you'll find the churches are right along the same area. Go out to Munster sometime on Columbia and count the churches out Columbia. Go down here on Holman and count the churches down Holman Avenue. They'll tell you where you can put your church. And by the way, if you're independent Baptist, you won't get to do it because they'll put certain denominations there. If you're scriptural enough not to belong to a denomination, then and spiritual enough not to belong to a denomination, if you're an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Baptist, then they won't give you a place to build. And David Gibbs is spending his life going around the country trying to fight for the rights of independent Baptist folks to build where they want to build and put the flowers they want to put there. Now I'm saying this. The government has become lawbreaker. If we decide at Howells Anderson College, and boy, you hear me say this over and over again, we've got to be just with these students. The word that's used in our meeting more than any justice. We've got to be just. 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 What does that mean? That means that we have no right to take away any of your rights unless you've done something that takes away your right to choose or somebody else's right to choose. Now, if you go out and get drunk, you've taken away your right to choose, and we're going to, and we're going to punish you for it. Or if you go out and embezzle a check, you've taken away somebody else's right to choose, or not embezzle. What do you call it? Forge a check. Then you've taken away somebody else's right to choose. We're going to punish you for it. But we have no right to punish you unless we feel you have taken away your own right to choose or somebody else's right to choose. And that's what America's all about. Our forefathers came to America so we could have a right to choose. And we have a right to choose as long as it doesn't infringe on anybody else's right to choose or cause us to take away our own right to choose. The purpose is to fight for freedom. That's what it's all about. That's what Patrick Henry meant when he said, "Every tub's got to sit on its own." I'm sorry. Give me liberty or give me death. That's what he meant. Give me liberty or give me death. He said, "You give me the right to exercise my God-given right to use my God-given ability to choose or let me die." And brother, you give us a nation like that, and I'll give you a real nation. And by the way, that's exactly what First Baptist Church of Hammond's been fighting for 34 years since I've been here. Nobody has a right to tell us what to teach in our schools. Because what we teach in our schools doesn't hurt the neighbors at all. If we choose to teach that, doesn't hurt anybody, doesn't make anybody take away anybody's right to choose. They can go where they want to go to school. We'll go where we want to go to school. They can teach what they want to teach. We'll teach what we want to teach. Back yonder several years ago, you college students, the state of Indiana has a law that says that you've got to be accredited, a college must be accredited by an accrediting association or the State Board of Education. They sent Dr. Evans a letter to that effect. And Dr. Evans said, "What shall I do with it?" I said, "File it." There's a little round thing down under the desk there. Where you squeeze, before you file it, you got to squeeze it. Throw it in there. They sent us another one. He said, "What shall I do with that?" I said, "File it. Throw it away. Burn it." It is none of the state of Indiana's cotton picking business for tell us what to teach in our school. None. None. Now, if we teach something that infringes on the rights of others to choose, let's suppose that we are teaching folks how to go out and destroy a neighborhood. Suppose we are building an army inside our Howells Anderson College. And suppose we decide we're going to make folks get saved by force. In that case, we are planning to take away the right of somebody else to choose. And the government has a right to do something about that. Well, we wouldn't do it. We went to court, fought it in court, and thank God we won the case. Because we are fighting for our right to choose. That's one thing wrong with America right now. Everybody's passing laws to take away somebody else's right to choose. You've got to hire so many white, so many black, so many maroons, so many chartreuses, so many yellow, navy blues, and so many of this race and this race. It's none of the government's business whom I hire. None of their business. If I want to hire all Polacks, it's my business. It'd be a dumb choice, but it's my business. If I want to hire all blacks, that's my business. If I want to hire all whites, that's my business. If I want to hire one black out of 10, that's my business. If it's my company and it's not taking away your right to choose or anybody else's right to choose, and I say with Patrick, everybody, give us Patrick, give us Henry or give us death. There was a day when America treasured this liberty more than she treasured holidays. There was a day when America treasured this liberty more than she treasured security. There was a day when men had rather be free than have Social Security guaranteed to them when they get old. There was a day when the most important thing in America was, we'll live for it, we'll die for it, but we're going to be free. Free to what? Free to choose. God gave us that right to choose. God gave us the ability to choose. God gave us the right to choose, and we have a right to choose. Number 10 and last. We may choose to give up our freedom. Listen carefully. We may choose to give up our freedom to choose. If we choose to give up our freedom to choose. Which means? Brother Colston? I think you're wiser than me in a certain area. Saved my life. I can't figure out what it could be. But I think you're wiser than me. God has led me to have you tell me what you think I ought to do in this case. Now, am I losing my liberty? No. I'm giving away my liberty in this case. It's my choice. I can take it back if I want to. Thank you. You see what I'm trying to say? It may be that there's somebody wiser than you. Now, you freshmen in school, I doubt if there are. But there may be somebody wiser than you, and you have a perfect right to give up your freedom to them if you so choose and let them choose for you, as long as they don't keep that freedom, as long as you can take it back whenever you want to. And the happiest people are the people who found someone who always is wiser and who always knows better, and they give up their freedom to him. His name is Jesus. And whenever you give up your will to him and say, I will do what you think is best, then he who is omniscient can make your decisions for you. But let me tell you this, he will not make those decisions for you, because unless he gives you the right to choose for him to make them for you, he won't force himself on you. So he gives you the right to choose. And if you choose to choose the right to give him the right to choose for you, that's okay. Now that's what government's all about. The purpose of daddy in the household. The purpose of daddy in the household is to execute justice so that each person in that household can choose. But he cannot choose if it infringes the rights of others in that household to choose. And that's the purpose of the teacher in the classroom. And that's the purpose of the principal in the school. And that's the purpose of the pastor here in the church service. And that's the purpose of the mayor in the city and the city council. And that's the purpose of Congress and the president and the state legislature and the governor. It's the purpose of the coach on a team. It's the purpose that we have a perfect... It is our job in place of leadership to see to it that your right to choose is protected until your right to choose, until you choose something that infringes or takes away the right of another to choose. And that's what freedom is all about. Now I want to say this, and I'll close. We're going to have to turn out a generation of people who'd rather have this than to have security, who'd rather have this than to have luxury, who'd rather have this than to have days off, who'd rather have this than to have 6 weeks a year off from work, who'd rather have this than have guaranteed wage, who'd rather have this than have a... That's what's wrong with the teachers in Chicago right now. They would rather have security than freedom. And our whole country is crumbling because we are not willing to give freedom to choose. Now you say, okay, then I'm 16 years old. I got a right to choose whatever. Oh, no, you don't. No. God has placed government in the home. And government is to decide what is your right to choose that does not infringe on somebody else's right. And God's put daddy in that home to see to it that you don't take away somebody else's rights. Understand what I'm saying? Well, look like it. As soon as you look intelligent, I'm going to close the service. Well, we'll continue. Shall we stand, please?